Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 7, episode 1 of Das Daily Zeitgeist for November 20th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Young Jackfruit, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hey, everybody. I hope you had a great weekend. I was just, you know, out in Amish smoking big old doinks.
Smoking big old doinks.
So it's good to be back. Good to be back.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious novelist and writer, Liana Mabee.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
How are you? I'm good. So let's get right to it. What is something that you have searched in the not-too-distant past that is revealing about who you are as a human being for our listeners?
Well, it's not so much what I searched, but how far I took it.
Okay.
I was, like, writing something in the new book I'm working on, and I needed to, write something about fertility symbols. And I was like, I don't know what fertility symbols are. Like, what is a fertility symbol other than, like, the moon, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
So I Googled fertility symbol, and I followed it down a really long rabbit hole. I ended up on the Etsy page for fertility symbols. One of the Etsy pages, there's, like, 1,000 different offerings. And I got to, for purchase, a set of 5 penis-shaped beads made out of buffalo bone that you carry around with you if you want to get pregnant. Can anyone guess what the Etsy store that made this is?
No.
Because, like, maybe think about a pun. It's Bone Hugs and Harmony.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
I was about to, me too. I was going to say that too.
I did mean to compliment you on your necklace.
Meet me at the crossroads.
Very nice.
Meet me at the crossroads so you won't be infertile.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit ignorant to fertility symbols. Exactly.
I mean, like, it was a hard Google search.
Is the idea that people carry these symbols to just, like, this will somehow enhance their power of fertility?
I think so, and I think there are, like, places you can go on, like, pilgrimages, but I just kind of wanted, like, I was like, oh, like, what is something I can say, like, this will sound like a something that's fertility-related, other than, like, I was like, a sprig.
Right.
The heart was originally a fertility symbol.
The
heart shape, like, the heart.
Because
that,
it's vaginal.
If you'll notice,
it's
very vaginal.
Interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't,
looks nothing like our actual
doesn't look
heart.
Anything no. like a human heart. So, yeah.
Wait, so how did that come about?
I don't know. I think probably just like through a...
That's like a long con.
Right. Well, I think, so the way I heard it is that there used to be a seed that was used as a either an aphrodisiac or birth control in ancient Rome, and it was shaped like a heart, and so that's how it became known, like associated with sex, and then from sex to love is not that far.
Wow.
Is what I vaguely remember having read at some point.
I was so bad at drawing hearts as a kid. It was weird because it's seemingly the most simple shape to do, and it took me so long to figure it out. Anyway,
but now you've gotten so good at it.
I know.
You have been doodling
every
hearts
eye
all day.
Exactly. I'm really good at doing a Stussy S though.
What's something, Liana, that you think is overrated?
Football. Mm-hmm. Don't get it. I'm never gonna get it. I've actively tried. I've like tried to care and to like pay attention. I don't. It's not.
Why are you putting in all this effort? You just like want to understand.
Well, I think it's like I want to be in a position where like if football is the thing that is what is happening that day or like where I happen to be, I want to not be miserable. It's very self-serving.
Right.
So I was like, maybe I want to understand it, and I also just don't want to be like I want to have like reasons why I don't like it or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
not just like I don't get it, but you want to be like, okay, I don't like it for these reasons.
I want to be like, I have tried to get it, and I still don't like it, therefore it is objectively boring.
Do you have reasons why you don't like it now? Do you know enough to not like it, or you're still kind of like, dude, I don't even get it, and I still don't like it?
All the plays are so short.
Yeah, that is the thing that jumps out. Like, when I was a kid and I first started watching football, because I was like a basketball and baseball fan for the most part, and then, yeah, once you start watching football, it's like, why, like, there's... 2 seconds, and
yeah,
then it's
and
like a minute long
so
break.
Long,
yeah,
and the plays are so short, and it's kind of like I don't know.
It's just like quick bursts of violence.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's a lot of commercials.
And I feel like the helmets make it so you can't really like identify with the characters.
So I think that's also a big problem with the league and like why it's going down in popularity while the NBA is going up is because
you know their faces.
Yeah, right. You know their faces, so you can have these stars whose like entire personality is out there.
Yeah, and you have like a human connection other than like a big dude with a helmet.
It's not like the next step of the NFL is like, well, why don't we get rid of the helmets? Is that going to affect anything?
That has been actually suggested because...
Oh, they'll be more careful with themselves?
But I think they'd be more careful because they'd realize after like 3 people died horrible deaths on the field. Yeah, it's not a good suggestion. It is a suggestion that's been raised.
Or maybe like just like print their face on the helmet.
That's an excellent idea.
At the very least, you're like, man, because they all just look like gigantic motherfuckers. Like, oh, look at his. He has a nice disposition on his helmet.
Yeah.
Rather than like some, you know, vector art of a buffalo.
Or even like emojis on the helmets.
Right. Okay,
like
how you're feeling.
Like, yeah.
I'm going to write all these down.
Huh? We have some notes, NFL.
Miles is actually very close to Roger Goodell. So
I am very close. He's my godfather.
Get to him. What's something you think is underrated?
Have either of you fellows done a jigsaw puzzle lately?
No.
Recommend. There is something so soothing to the adult anxious mind about doing a jigsaw puzzle.
Really?
I don't know. 6 months ago, I got really into jigsaw puzzles, and I've done like 15 in that time.
Are you like good at them?
I don't think it's about that.
Is there such thing as being good?
I don't think so.
I just remember being bad at them when I was a kid. Like, it just took me a long time.
Everything, he's just forcing each piece in. Like, it doesn't work like that, Jack.
It doesn't look like the pyramid.
Yeah.
But I recommend it to everyone to just try it, get a jigsaw puzzle.
I will give that
like,
a shot.
Order one on Amazon with, like, an image you like.
Do you do it while doing something else? Or
I listen
you just...
to podcasts, usually. Yeah. And... So,
what's a good time to finish a like how many like aren't they like thousands of pieces most of these things?
Yeah,
generally like 1,000.
Whoa, that's overwhelming.
That's my speed.
Yeah,
what was the last one you made of?
Well, I'm currently working on one. It's amazing. It's wood. It's a wood cut. It's like a ship thing, and there are whimsy pieces. So like some of the pieces are shaped like the Statue of Liberty or a dog, and it's great.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
But it's made of wood.
Uh huh.
The Jigsaw puzzle?
Yeah, it's really fancy.
The Jigsaw puzzle.
Yo, this is blowing my mind. I just know, like, the regular puzzles that, you know, like, are, like, on really, you know, recycled cardstock paper.
Right,
like,
yeah. That's all I got.
So you're talking about next level.
Well, this is my first time branching out to the woodcut puzzle.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend starting there.
Right.
Okay, so for someone like me who's...
Yeah, just get, like, the cardboard...
You're not ready.
Puzzle deficient, yeah.
Well, not only are you not ready, but, like, you don't know if you like it yet.
Right, and that costs extra
exactly.
money, I'm sure.
And you don't need to...
How much is it? How much are we talking, just to get into the game?
I'd imagine, this would be my guess, is that jigsaw puzzles, the cardboard kind are like $8.99.
Yeah, roughly. It varies. Okay. Like, you can get them for that.
See, that's not expensive enough for me. That's not baller enough.
But then the wooden ones, $35?
I don't know. It was a gift.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, look, if anybody has suggestions for a jigsaw puzzle, hit me up.
Okay. Well, I will check that out. Because I do, like, there are certain things that, like, when I'm listening to a podcast or a book and, like, you know, my hands need something to do,
exactly,
or my eyes need something to do, I usually do the, like, Wordle or whatever, the word search game on my phone.
But, like, this allows you to actually fully concentrate on
right.
your podcast.
But doesn't that, if you're doing a word thing and listening, doesn't that, like, kind of split your attention? Like, in your
no, because the word thing is pretty, like, mindless.
Jack's really good at words.
I struggle with those, too. Remember,
best.
Y'all caught me crying doing one because I was so frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're not a reader. That's all right. Some people are just
I tried. But now with
you're
text
too busy learning hearts. You never got
exactly.
the letters.
And now that my speech to text, I don't have to learn how to write.
It really is true, actually.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, we're
not
probably
that I'm
like
illiterate.
2 years away. We're probably 2 years away from it being like good enough that you can just dictate stuff. Although that would be really hard in class because it would just be all kids speaking
like
out
whispering.
Loud at their phones or computers. All right, let's get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether we're looking or not. We talk about politics and the president and news, but we also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids because those affect the ideas people have up in their minds. And yeah, so let's get into it. We're trying to take the temperature of what's affecting the national shared consciousness. And we start out by asking our guests if they have anything that you think that the sort of conventional wisdom has wrong about the world.
I mean, I feel like I'm upset that my precious pit bull is still being seen as like the bad dog in TV and movies. I feel like generally like people kind of are like, oh, no, we know that like pit bulls are there's no bad dogs. There are only bad people. Is that the expression?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's such a go-to, like, cliche that it's like, if you're going to have a bad dog in a TV show, you make it a pit bull. And I feel like that is some bullshit.
In my mind, chihuahuas are the worst dogs.
Chihuahuas are way more aggressive. They're just, like, naturally aggressive, shitty dogs.
Yeah. And I guess you know why. Because, like, for the longest time, I feel like in the 90s, like, every court show, like Judge Judy in the People's Court was always like, and this man's pit bull attacked me. Or whatever, and it was always, like, the
yeah.
owner who, like, lived, like, in a house that didn't have a fenced-in yard, and, like, they just fed their dog, like, cans of food. Like, you know what I mean? It was just,
yeah.
People weren't nurturing the pets. Yeah, maybe they do get a rap. I don't know.
Well,
they get a better rap?
They used to be used as, like, they were, like, baby guard dogs. Like, you would, like, leave your pit bull to, like, guard the baby when you went and left your baby alone.
Wait, what?
They're the sweetest dogs. No, they're, like, naturally, like, the most loving, sweetest, like, protective dogs.
I was just picturing a babysitting service where it's like,
you
yeah,
just have
here.
A pit bull.
Yeah, how old is he? 18? Great. So we're going to leave him with these 8 pit bulls over here. And trust me, they will not let any funny business
One
go
chihuahua
down.
To make things interesting.
Right. Good to know.
Yeah. They're sweet.
And
they're
also,
good.
Yeah, I think most of my friends, even who have rescued pit bulls, like, they've, for the most part, like, rehabilitated them or just shown them enough, like, affection that they seem pretty normal.
I adopted
they
I had a
back.
Pit bull. I have a pit bull mix that I got when he was, like, 4 months old. He was a stray on the street, but he was, like, never trained to be bad, and he's the sweetest little dude in the world.
That's awesome.
See?
Kisses babies like a politician.
Wow. Yeah. Do people...
He's also a politician.
Do people react to your pit bull? Like, or like, is that a pit bull?
He's a mix. So he's like a basset hound mix. So he's just like little and funny looking and adorable. So kind of not really, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
My dog has no reason to be anything but sweet, and he's just a complete mess.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, look at the owner.
He's got like anxiety and...
What kind of dog is it?
No. It's Cavalier King Charles. It's not even a rescue.
Cavalier King? Was it... I'm sorry, Cavalier King. I think it's King LeBron, is what you mean?
Cavalier King Charles. They're like the brown, white.
The spaniels.
Yeah, they're little spaniels there. So, like, usually when executed correctly, we've had 3 of them actually.
Executed correctly?
When executed correctly, they are like these very regal looking, like perfect dogs. We had one that was like just like seemed to float as it like trotted along. Like it was just like this beautiful regal thing.
Right.
And that was my wife's dog. And then I got one and he like has like a leg that doesn't really bend right. And he like can't run correctly.
So you got him at the outlet?
Yeah. He has an eye that like goes off in the wrong direction. And his response to being in the same room with a dog is to roll over on his back and play dead, like, for the whole time. He's just the most passive.
Sounds like a YouTube star.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
Wait, so if there's another dog, he's just like, nah, I'm not fucking with this. And just pretends
and
to be dead.
Matter, yeah, and it doesn't matter how small the dog is. He's just, just a mess.
Shout out to your dog.
Yeah. He's also got sinus problems. That's why I don't bring him into work. He's like makes really loud noises.
Dude, this sounds like just like a really anxious human.
He sounds
being.
Like my grandfather.
Yeah. 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 Got breathing problems.
Pretending to be dead.
Doesn't like other people really.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Well.
That's him. Loves getting his belly rubbed though. All right, let's get into the stories of the week. We have more updates on Benghazi. I thought you were going to come through with some, like, effects or something.
Maybe. How about this? Benghazi.
There we go. Which is what we're calling sex crim watch these days. So, yeah, just more people who we would have liked to continue to believe were okay people. Turns out not great. Jeffrey Tambor is leaving Transparent amid allegations that he sexually harassed people on that set. And Al Franken, another victim, stepped out when we talked about it last week. We were like, yeah, and let's just wait and see if this is the only one. And sure enough, he was posing for a photograph with a woman while her husband was taking the picture, and he grabbed her ass for 3 to 4 seconds.
At the state fair.
And he was like, yeah, I'm sorry that she didn't enjoy our encounter or something like that. It was like a really...
Yeah, like I didn't realize she wasn't cool with that.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Wait, women don't like that?
Oh, wow. Okay. He's probably like, let me think back now. I may have a few other things I may have to cop to. Yeah, so Al Franken.
I think copping was the whole problem.
Right. Yeah.
Time to move aside.
Right.
But I guess what'll be interesting is, are we going to actually be like at a point where Al Franken gets ousted, Roy Moore gets in, and then it takes a long time for him to get removed?
Right. Well, that is one thing that an issue that has been raised is that if the Republicans are just like, you know, take advantage of the fact that Democrats actually object to this sort of thing,
right,
then it could become a
it's
real
just
issue.
Absurd.
Right.
Wow.
Just hold the Democrats to a higher standard, and then Congress is nothing but conservative pedophiles. Soon enough.
Yum.
Russell Simmons and Brett Ratner, the second I heard those two were hanging out together, I was like, oh, I don't know. Keep all women away from them. But apparently they were hanging out together back in
91,
and they brought a 17-year-old over to Brett Ratner's house or Russell Simmons's place, and they were watching a music video, and then according to a woman, like, basically forced her to have sex with Russell Simmons, and you know, was like badgered into doing various things, and at one point she looked to Brett Ratner for help.
That's a low point.
Yeah, that's not who you want to be looking to for help in a situation like that,
unless it's like to do a plate full of cocaine.
Right,
that's the only time you look at him for help.
And yeah, I don't know, just having been around people who've been around Russell Simmons, this wasn't like the most surprising thing that I'd ever heard. But yeah, his defense was, he was like, so remember, this is a 17-year-old. And he's like, you guys, I'm pretty sure that was consensual. I remember it. It was consensual. Like, and he was like also talking about how, like, went against every fiber of his being and, you know, using his, like, weird yoga language and shit. So I don't know.
Yeah, yoga does not exempt you from being a terrible person.
It does
in
not.
In fact, one might argue that it's the opposite.
It's consensual, my man. So then do we just want to talk about this as being statutory rape?
Yeah.
Right.
Or, wow. Anyway.
But it's frustrating because it's like, the thing is, like, I feel like there is a way back from this kind of stuff. And it's like, you have to you have to accept it and admit it in a real way. And it's like, I feel like we're not trying to say culturally that, like, you can't, you know, work your way back from this. And from someone like Al Franken, like, he needs to just admit, like, yeah, I did this shitty thing. I recognize now that it's shitty. Like, I'm going to get better.
And he has. At least his apologies have actually been actual apologies and not sort of like, I'm sorry that they felt this way.
Didn't he deny the State Fair thing, though? I take photos with thousands of people.
Right. I mean, maybe that one. Yeah. I think
his response to this has been a little more like, oh, so you're kind of a shitty person type thing.
Right.
Yeah. So the girls set, apparently one of the EPs there, what's his name?
Murray Miller.
One of the executive producers of Girls was accused by one of the actresses of attempting to sexually assault her. And Lena Dunham came out and kind of said that, yeah, we're glad. This is great and all that women are getting a voice. But this is one of those cases where it can't possibly be true because we know this guy and he's just such a good bro. And then she... I think yesterday came out and was like, so remember that thing that I said that was wrong? I apologize. She also tweeted at one point, just so you know, my politics are that I like to lift up the people who lift me up. And somebody rightly pointed out that's just self-interest. That's not politics. That's just being self-interested. That's like cronyism.
It's interesting because again, I mean, Lena Dunham, you know, there's a woman who's like leaving her online publication Lenny Letter because she is just sort of saying that there's this, calls her basically like just like documented history of like well-known racism or what she calls hipster racism. And for her, again, the woman who, is alleging that she was assaulted or he attempted to assault her, Aurora Perrineau. It's Harold Perrineau from Lost's daughter. So she's a woman of color, and it doesn't look good when, of all the people, when you're trying to discredit people, you're discrediting the claims of women of color. And it's weird, too, because Lupita Nyong'o, of all the women who made accusations against Harvey Weinstein, that was like the one woman he came out to publicly deny and discredit. So it just doesn't fit in. It's a bad look, and you never want to... You can't have it both ways. And it's, again, yeah, she did walk it back and saying that, you know, she, again, believes this and it wasn't the right time for her to make a statement like that to support this man. But, yeah, it doesn't look like, you know, things are all well in Lena Dunham's camp either in terms of, like, her relationship with women of color.
And it's also it's interesting when you look at it and you're like, these, like, the two women that you would think would be, like, the biggest allies in this situation, like, Lena Dunham and Jill Soloway, both kind of... you know, did nothing with each other. And it's like, you see how, like, deeply just, like, entrenched all this shit is and how much, like, it really is, like, oh, it's, there's a lot of money at stake, you know, and right. This is a business.
Right.
And even, like, the biggest allies kind of like, have to fall in line with that.
Yeah, I think some of the responses I've heard are, like, people being like, oh, no, like, is this going to be just how it is? Like, is it all men? But I've also heard people be like, I don't know. Yeah, if we do assume that there is this thick line, this is just like people who are bad human beings, like getting knocked off to hopefully make room for people who are good human beings. Maybe even women. Holy shit, could you imagine? Yeah, so that's where we're at.
Like, it's interesting to have conversations with people now where, like, everyone just begins to sort of take stock and be like, did I do anything that... like,
right.
Could remotely be seen that way. First of all, I'm not, like, the kind of person who would ever try and exert my will on, like, anything. I'm just too passive at times. And it's just weird. I know talking to some people who can be like, oh, man, like, there's stuff I'm sure now I did that, or back then I did that probably wouldn't be good now. And then there are other people who kind of are just completely, their minds are blown.
It's interesting because this is actually the thing that worries me, sort of in terms of, like, women and, like, women in Hollywood. And I think... this idea, you know, that everyone is so frightened about being around women. And it's like this whole thing of like, you know, can we have women in the writer's room? Because what if we say a dirty joke? And then and it's like,
right.
No, like if you hire a female comedy writer, she understands that, like, and it's like, but this fear, it makes me worried that men are going to just continue to shy away from working with women. And it's like, that's kind of the downside that I see. But I also feel like the line is so much thicker than we think it is. You know, it's like, if you've done something wrong, like, you'll pretty much know it, you know?
Right. Yeah,
and it's
yeah,
like
exactly.
People who are sitting there being like, I don't know, like, have I? And it's like, no, like, actually, like, look at these are, most of these cases are cut and dry, like, sexual assault.
Right.
But
right,
if you've
right.
committed that, you know it. And if you, you know, maybe made a dirty joke once, it's probably fine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and again, I think it's to think of like, you know, men being afraid to work with women. That's for them to even say like, oh, let me put that on working around women as an issue mm-hmm. rather than like, okay, I can work around a woman because I'm not a fucking sex crimp.
And if it means right. that maybe like you don't make a dirty joke, I feel like that's maybe the right sacrifice to make for right. getting yeah. an entire gender allowed to
well,
work.
Well, right. And in a way, it's also, it's a way to check your privilege as a male too, to be like, oh, like, let me think of things I cannot say or will actively try to not say.
Right.
Because
and it's
you know,
like, oh, maybe don't put that in your show then.
Yeah.
If, you know, it's offending the female comedy writer in the room.
Yeah. I mean, the Franken thing especially made me think about just that, like how difficult it is to come forward when something like this has happened to you, because this woman had her ass grabbed by like this famous politician and like didn't tell anyone until somebody else like
yeah.
kind of gave her the courage to actually be like, okay, yeah, he is like shitty dude who like does weird stuff.
And she was saying like right after she told her husband straight away, she's like,
right.
oh, he totally grabbed my ass.
Yeah.
And that's also interesting too. Like you think as a husband, you'd be like, I'm gonna have to roll this dude up
right.
or something, you know what I mean? Or say something. But even then, I'm sure as a man, you're like, I don't want to be this guy who's like making a scene accusing this like senator of.
Yeah.
Right. It's- yeah. It's tough, but I agree. The thickness of the line seems to be pretty reassuring,
thick?
I guess. Yeah, pretty thick. It seems like every time it seems like on the surface, based on the headline, like it might be a thing that could go either way. You read on and they're
exactly.
basically
you're always like, yes. And then people
systematic.
Like don't read past the headlines. They're like, no. Like the
yeah.
George Takei thing, like wasn't like, no, he drugged a dude and then pulled his pants down. And it's like,
right.
You know, I think once you, if you actually read, and it's like, why aren't the headlines saying these things too?
Right.
Yeah.
You'd probably get more clicks.
The George Takei thing's actually interesting because you can kind of see the moment in a Howard Stern interview where he realizes that he's like one of these people. Like,
right.
He's like,
oh no.
Oh, yeah.
I
That's
am
a much better choice.
I am
cut.
A sex crim.
And finally, before we go to break, we just wanted to talk about the fact that yesterday we saw that Charles Manson's name was trending. And we assumed the worst.
Oh God, who
that
did he touch?
Right. Also was one of these sexual assaulters. But no, he's just gone on. He's,
cult
he's passed on from this life.
Murderer.
Yeah. So
why are people so obsessed with Charles Manson? I know we were talking about this earlier because as a kid, it seemed like something like white kids were more into, like Charles Manson. Because to me, just seeing like a guy with a swastika between his eyes was terrifying.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
I'm good. Like,
so for me, I am not condoning the actions of Charles Manson. I don't think he was a good dude, but I am fascinated by him as
right.
like a cultural figure. And I also just as a figure of like unintentional comedy, where it's like, really what happened with Charles Manson was the biggest overcorrection of all time. Like, basically, he sent some people out, they accidentally killed some people, and he's like, guess we gotta start a race war so they don't suspect us. Let's go murder Sharon Tate. And it was like, oh, you just overcorrected.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he went all in on it. And it's kind of like, like, it was really to deflect. Like,
so he was trying to imply that it was, like, black people trying to start
yeah.
a race war. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And, yeah, there's all this, like, they wrote, like, pig on the wall to be like, fuck the cops. And, like, all of this stuff that was, like, basically he just ended up committing way more murders to try and, like, deflect
from
attention
a murder.
From a
so
murder.
So it's like another Coen Brothers-esque.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
wacky,
just
like
really.
A wacky.
Yeah, it's
like,
hijinks.
Yeah.
And that,
oh, I like,
me,
okay, now I'm on board.
But he went all the way in, is
right.
the thing. Like, he
right.
still, like, he decided he was this, like, Jesus figure, basically, like, during this process. And he still, like, he didn't think he was supposed to not die.
But I feel like most people just, not even knowing that, are still, like, very interested, I guess maybe it's just like people's morbid fascination with like with cults and murder.
And I think
yeah,
that era of Los Angeles too is holds
right.
a lot of.
And it was like the hippie, like when the hippie thing bled over into, oh, this could be this weird like psychological sort of yeah cult thing.
Do you guys remember the story a couple years ago of Charles Manson's like very beautiful wife?
No.
Or fiance. So he was like engaged to this like really hot like woman in her like mid-20s. And he found out, like, she gave an interview and she was like, well, I'm only marrying Charles Manson because when he dies, I want to get his corpse and display it. Which, like, first of all, you don't get your husband's corpse.
Right. That's not the rules.
Excuse me, that's my corpse?
Yeah. It's like, I don't think that's how it works. But Manson broke off their engagement because he's like, no. If you're a true believer, you would know that I'm immortal and I'm not going to die.
Wait.
So he like broke off engagement.
It's not even that he's like you're being opportunistic.
Yeah, not at all.
He's like,
just like, you must not really be a believer.
First of all, you don't believe that I'm immortal?
Yep.
Okay, well, this is off.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stick to your guns.
I missed all of that. Oh, but yeah. that is interesting because the whole pig thing just seemed like a weird, like, sort of pseudo-religious, like, sacrifice thing. Or I think I had also heard something about a reference to the Beatles, because there's references to pigs on the White Album, and obviously Helter Skelter is from the White Album. But I didn't know it was, you know, their shitty attempt to be
to
like, this
by
was
starting
about
a race
cops,
war.
Man.
Yeah.
Like
when people
like the Watts riots.
Make fake Twitter accounts and be like, look what these thugs are doing.
This right.
Is, we got tweets from them.
Yeah. Thug Street Killer.
Wow,
yo.
That's wild to think. But then you see stuff like Sophie was saying, like on the AMAs, they flashed a graphic during the show that said that Charles Manson was dead.
He's a big...
Which is crazy. I mean, like, this dude is straight up fucking murder. I don't know why you need to, like, interrupt regular programming, even if you're not stopping it, but just even to alert people.
That's I've talked like, before about how, like, Einstein is probably one of the hottest brands in the world just because he gets credit for, like, all smart things. Like,
right.
When people have a quote that they want to misattribute online to make it sound smarter, they always give it to Einstein. I think Charles Manson is, like, that for evil. He's
right.
Just, like, the Charles Manson,
well,
like,
I'm glad
brand.
He's gone, because now we can all pay respect to the true Manson God. That's Shirley Manson from Garbage.
Right.
Shout out to you, Shirley. Now you have the Manson throne. You have the title. Run with it and do good with it, Ma.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. So we wanted to get into the Cokes. You might have read it and pronounced it the Koch's in your head.
Like Ed Koch?
Right.
Former
because
mayor?
That's how it's K-O-C-H. But they are the Koch brothers. They are among the wealthiest human beings on the planet Earth. When you take them together, David and Charles, if you combined their wealth... which you might as well, because they basically have all the same, you know,
they're
goals
two-headed
and expenses.
Beast.
Yeah, they would be the wealthiest person in the world, other than Vladimir Putin. As we've talked about, Vladimir Putin is the richest person in the world. He just
spreads
hides his money among his friends and colleagues. So he has a good friend who is a great celloist who also has $3 billion in the bank because, yeah.
I don't even think Yo-Yo Ma has like $3 million in the bank.
No,
and that's
exactly.
The best cellist in the fucking world.
Right. But anyway, so the Koch brothers, there's this great book called Dark Money by Jane Mayer, who is a New Yorker reporter. So the way it's her reporting on this started out is she was looking at the Tea Party, this like grassroots movement of, you know, 50-year-old white rich guys who dressed up as... you know, revolutionary era American soldiers and founding fathers. And which, by the way, the founding fathers didn't even dress up like founding fathers when they did it. They dressed up as Native Americans for the Tea Party. But that's another thing. So she noticed that wording on the signs in like Los Angeles and then in Wichita would be identical. The wording would be the same. And this was supposedly just this naturally occurring grassroots thing.
Yeah, it's grassroots, baby.
Right.
It's not AstroTurf. It's
right.
Not fake-ass grassroots.
So she started looking into it, and it seemed like these two brothers, the Kochs, were, you know, somehow involved. And she reached out to their company, and their company, like, denied it in a very convincing way. And then she went down to this sort of convention for Tea Partiers. And it was completely run by the Koch brothers, and apparently they had forgotten to tell people that, like, they weren't supposed to be involved because the people were like, oh, yeah, the Kochs, yeah, they're great. They fund all of this, and it's wonderful. And
they're like,
yeah. They were giving out awards to, like, best Tea Party blogger for, like, some woman who wrote an article called, like, the Kochhead in Chief about Obama, like, claiming he was a Kochhead. So it was, like...
Like a cocaine head, not a Koch brother head.
Yeah, not a
Koch brother.
Yeah, exactly.
The Tea Partiers, they're Kochheads.
Right. They're Kochheads of a different sort. But yeah, so that, I don't know. The Tea Party never really, totally made sense to me as a grassroots movement, just because I don't like envision these guys like hanging out like around the water cooler, being like, I don't know, let's all dress up like this and that catching fire. It just seemed to suddenly be a thing, and that's because it was a Koch brother operation. They're really good at staying under the radar. They inherited a lot of their money from their father, who made his money by building oil refineries for Stalin and Hitler.
Oh.
Amazingly. So,
it's a resume.
Hey. And one of his favorite sayings was, the whale gets harpooned after it surfaces to spout, or something like that. So basically, like, you just stay under the surface to stay out of trouble. So, like, they are really good at staying invisible. It wasn't until, like, Jane Mayer really looked into this that it was that their name became sort of a household name. Their father co-founded the John Birch Society, which is this like hyper arch conservative group of white people that is like vaguely racist. While Obama was being inaugurated the first time, like while most of the country was in Washington, D.C., celebrating, the Kochs were having this conference in Indian Wells, California, where they were all just like panicking because they thought Obama was going to do what people elected him for, like to
govern.
Well, start, you know, taking money away from these really wealthy people and, you know, like taxing them. And
oh, God.
Taking away some of their loopholes.
No.
And legislating to stop global warming.
Oh, that, Jesus.
That's kind of their main cause, is they want to get rid of the idea that global warming is man-made.
They've and done a pretty good job.
They've been incredibly successful. Like, there is not a country other than America where it's even a question. But in America, there's been a rise in the number of people who think it's not a man-made thing. And that's to a large degree because of the Cokes. In 1980...
Some helter-skelter shit right,
right
there.
Exactly.
That's some overcorrecting Manson shit.
Right. Oh, yeah. This is just the beginning. So in 1980, David Koch, who's like sort of the... Charles Koch is the main CEO, billionaire, like brains behind the operation. They both graduated from MIT. David, also pretty smart, but not really the brains behind the operation. But he ran as VP... on the libertarian ticket for president in 1980. And they thought they were going to like have this great uprising of, you know, libertarians who would all get their message. And instead they got 1% of the vote and got sort of laughed out of the presidential election. And so at that point they were like, okay, we are going to
fuck everything up.
Well, we're going to, rather than except that that's just not how Americans thought. They were like, we're going to change how Americans think. So they started funding all these think tanks. They started donating to colleges. So at this meeting in 2009, which had like all these incredibly wealthy people, it had the Mellon, like Carnegie Mellon is funded by the Carnegies and the Mellons. They're like a banking and Gulf oil dynasty. A bunch of the other like really famous names, the DeVos family, which is apparently the heir to Amway in Michigan. And that's Betsy DeVos is like a scion of the DeVos family. So that like all of these different dots start connecting when you look at the Kochs. And so they had this meeting where they like talked about how they were going to wage war against Obama and like all these different ways they were going to fight him. They came up with the idea for this like Tea Party uprising. And in 2010, the year after, they started like making this a regular thing. In 2010, at this meeting, Justices Scalia and Thomas both spoke at the meeting. That is the same year that the Supreme Court passed Citizens United, which has been one of the biggest weapons for like incredibly wealthy people to influence, you know, American politics.
Yeah, and essentially allowing corporations to have like First Amendment rights that said like, hey, yeah, we can treat them like individuals so right. they can spend unlimited amounts of money in elections and, you know, completely meddle in our democratic process.
Yeah.
But that's not a big deal. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because things have been going pretty well.
It's like everyone is at this one meeting where they, like all of the people who have this really sort of crazy outside of the sort of mainstream, like billionaire agenda.
Like the actual Illuminati.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, we don't need to make up the Illuminati. They right. actually exist.
They hang out in Indian Wells and they have Supreme Court justices hanging out there. You know,
right.
just, you know, people who can fundamentally shift the entire discussion and direction that our politics are going in. But that's right. cool.
So like back in 1980 when they first ran, William F. Buckley, who's like the main conservative intellectual of the 20th century, like called their movement, quote, anarcho-totalitarianism. He was like, it's insane. It's like he laughed at the ideas that they were putting forward. It was like so obviously lined up with their own self-interest,
right.
essentially. It's just basically like we want no government intervention on like anything having to do with our money or our companies polluting. They're also big on like environmental things and like getting the government not to prevent corporations from, you know, doing whatever they want with chemicals in the environment. There's some really scary shit happening.
Well, yeah, because their companies are like amongst the biggest offenders when it comes to pollution and things
right.
like that, which is why they despise the federal government and despise regulation and just they're like, dude, let us do whatever the fuck we want to do is kind of their mentality.
Right.
At by any cost.
Right. Their companies are mostly like big, like petrol, chemical,
refineries for Hitler.
Right. Refineries for Hitler and, you know, different chemicals that like go into the stuff you use. But then they also have recognizable brands like Downy. Dixie cups are made by them.
Yeah. Angel Soft, Quilted Northern, Lycra, Brawny, Soft and Gentle. Guys, just stop wiping your ass.
Right.
And you can really show the Koch brothers by taking a dent in their, take a bite out of their bottom line.
So Charles, the older brother, was raised by this nanny who was just a fervid Nazi. And she, like openly, like, I love Hitler. And it was during the...
Like on a t-shirt?
Start of World War II. No, just like with her mouth. Like, I love Hitler.
Just out loud.
And then ended up, she raised them for 5 years and then left because in 1940, when Hitler invaded France, she said she wanted to go back and like be there for the party.
Cool.
Essentially. So that's who he was raised by. And, you know, they've just... They've been caught pocketing millions from Indian reservations. They, like, just do every just dark
thing. They're just
thing.
Cartoon villains in every way. They're the most arch human beings.
Yeah. Right. But so our writer, Sam Rabman, who we asked to look into this, made a good point because we were like, okay, let's talk about how these guys are cartoon villains. And he was like, yeah, but they're actually just really kind of savvy people with a ton of money and... They looked at what America would allow them to do, and they just did that. So it's almost, it's more of an indictment of the system that, like, the system allows people who have enough money to sort of become these oligarchs who can, you know, pressure the government and change government policy.
Well, yeah, and you look at their huge, basically, supporters of the misinformation campaign to deny climate change. They, you know, on top of that, we spoke, I think, last week or the week before about them also being behind this movement to trigger a constitutional convention to, like, hopefully really solidify, like, changing the Constitution to, like, really just make sure the oligarchy is safe as it is and, you know, the government's hands are off it. And again, like, especially with this tax bill that's coming up, too, it's important to realize that the Koch brothers are huge donors to the GOP. And the one thing that all GOP politicians gather around and unite for are tax cuts. And that's usually because of people like the Koch brothers or their very wealthy donors who are essentially like, get my tax cuts done. Get my tax cuts done. Get my tax cuts done.
Yeah. I mean, Democrats like tax cuts for like people who aren't super wealthy already.
Although they also, you know, they get a lot of money from Wall Street, too, and advocate for their tax cuts in different ways.
Right. But there's... these specifically seem to be tax cuts for the extremely wealthy.
Yeah.
Like, there doesn't seem to be any confusion over what's going on there.
And most politicians, again, we brought this up last week, there are politicians who are openly just saying, like, yeah, we got to get these tax cuts done so my donor dollars don't dry up. Which,
you can't say that.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Don't admit
that this whole thing is a fucking sham. But again, when you have people this powerful and wealthy who can spend unlimited amounts of money, it's hard to escape their influence.
And it's like an Ouroboros of, like, you know, you're trying to see what you can get away with, and then you're creating the system that allows you to get away with more. And it just seems like, how are we ever going to get out of this cycle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that one of the things that makes me optimistic is that they were completely invisible for a lot of their whole sort of scheme to change the way Americans think up until people started reporting on them. And now people know about them. But I mean, the way Jay Mayer describes it is like, it's like you see a bunch of, you know, iron filings on a table being moved around. You know, there's like some giant magnet under the table moving it around.
Right.
And so they're the magnet under the table. We just didn't have really a look at it. So hopefully we can kind of do something about, you know, how they are fucking with the way the country works. But
I love your optimism because I'm kind of just like, I kind of feel like it's too late. Like,
yeah.
I kind of feel like, you know what?
I think
we're
done.
It's worth a try.
Yeah, I think the more people know, right, it's easier than people just kind of be like, oh, well, why is all this happening? To know that there are like like larger forces yeah. at work, especially too, like that they're in the news again because now they're trying to invest in that company that's trying to buy Time Inc. So now they're trying to own
the news.
A huge chunk of the media now. And it's already like we're already in bad water because of places like Sinclair Broadcasting that like I think they broadcast to something like 73% of our homes. To have people with these like very conservative, like pro-business, like anti-middle class agendas also like controlling the news that people are seeing in their homes. I mean, yo, like I guess the Daily Zeitgeist is the only thing you guys can listen to. You know what I mean?
Right.
The truth. But yeah, it's like where do you go then when these are the people who are also at the levers of the information you're
on the
receiving.
Plus side, more ads with the brawny guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Not against that.
I'm mad jealous of that guy, though, because he can grow a full beard. But that's neither here or there.
He does have a great beard. Yeah, so they're outwardly libertarian, but when it comes down to it, like they are mostly interested in their own wealth. So, for instance, when there is the big government bailout for Wall Street banks, which is like the least libertarian thing ever.
Right.
Like the libertarian move would be to just let the markets fail because that's what they were doing naturally on their own. Instead, there was this giant multi-billion-dollar bailout for the banks. They basically, once they saw that the market was actually about to crater, they switched their position to being pro-bailout because they just didn't want to lose money.
Right.
But they say, I mean, it is a for like I don't want to be optimistic in the sense that like, yeah, this is going to be easy now that we know about it. Like they say that they are like the more people learn about their operation, the more they realize they're actually bigger and more powerful than the Republican Party.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
They're that powerful. They just have more influence than the actual Republican Party. It's just we didn't know about them up until this point.
And I remember for the longest time too, they were trying to figure out when Trump was to get the nomination, they despised him and they were like, nah, we can't get behind this. And there was a lot of debate even amongst the donors and a lot of like even politicians were worried because they're like, which way are the Cokes going to go on this guy? So they have a pretty substantial hold on
right.
things, we should say. But I guess that's true. Like even like when you look at Robert Mercer, He ducked out a little bit too when people began to like his name became quite commonplace in these discussions about like who props up which media people, who is investing in certain political agendas. And I guess I don't know. I mean, at this point, if their whole thing was to not be the whale that breaches so you don't get harpooned, I mean, shit. At the very least, we can see like a dorsal fin.
Right. Yeah. No, they have totally breached and probably aren't happy about it. So I think generally, a good rule of thumb is anything that makes the Koch brothers sweat a little bit is probably good for the country and like the vast majority of the population. So
we need to divide them
right.
and conquer.
Unless it's immigration, because that's the weird thing. Because they are so pro-business, they don't mind amnesty for immigrants because for them it's like, oh, well, that means a larger workforce.
Right.
But even then, it has evil. It's not even like, oh, because we believe people should be allowed to like enter this country and have a better life. It's more like, well, if they're going to become a potential worker,
we can pay people
yeah,
less.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. And, you know, you were talking about how people didn't know which way they were going to go on the Trump thing. They didn't actually break towards Trump. What they did is they moved Trump towards them. Like Trump has now changed his policies. He brought Mike Pence on as his VP. Mike Pence is completely made. He is like a figment of the Koch brothers' imagination. Like he was invented by them. He was just like a AM radio DJ when they found him, who like had never held down a successful job in his life.
He was an AM radio DJ?
Yeah. Or he was a radio DJ, like a talk radio DJ.
Mike wow. Pence in the morning?
Yeah, Mike Pence in the morning. That's
he can barely
wake you up in the morning.
He has no charisma.
I know. Well, he kind of learned how to speak and
because before it's like, hey, what's up? It's Crazy Mike and the Fart Boys.
Hey, no, I don't think he wasn't like a
Kiss FM DJ.
Drive time morning zoo DJ. He was like a Rush Limbaugh type.
And I listened to him just playing pop songs and then commenting on why they're evil.
Right.
Well, he did think Mulan was evil too.
Right.
So that makes all sense.
Yeah,
that all makes sense for Mike Pence.
But also, yeah, like I said, Betsy DeVos being the head of education, despite just being a, you know, incredibly wealthy scion, or I guess her husband is the actual descendant of the Davos throne, but still, that she was at the Koch brothers.
Davos throne is in Game of Thrones, right? That's actually
Davos house. she was part of their like party for billionaires, where they determine how to fuck with Democrats. So there, I do think that it would be a mistake to think that the Koch brothers eventually were like, yeah, this Trump guy is not so bad. I guess we'll go along with his policies. It was that Trump essentially gravitated towards them because they're more powerful than the Republican Party. All right. So that is all the time we have for the Koch brothers, but this will almost certainly be an ongoing story.
It never ends. It never does.
All right. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. All right, we are kind of over time, so we're just going to go out on a quick story about how China is, it turns out, just as sick of Katy Perry as you are.
Not me.
No, not you.
Left Shark.
We're Katy Perry fans. We're Katy Perry fans here on the Daily Zeitgeist, but China, not so much.
Oh my goodness. So, like, this weekend was the Victoria's Secret fashion show in China. Big thing, big things going on over there. Now, they were saying there are a couple reasons why this show got a lot of attention. One, Gigi Hadid was expected to go on the runway, but
she's a famous model, correct?
Very famous model.
I knew that.
Well, yeah, daughter of Yolanda. But there was a picture of her making like kind of slanty Asian eyes with a Buddha cookie. So China was like, Sorry, Ma, you can't get in the country.
Which I'm good with.
That one's reasonable.
No, that makes sense. Then also, Katy Perry, who was meant to perform, she was basically, they said, we're not going to let you in because this had to do with a performance she did in 2015. She performed at a concert in Taiwan already. That'll get you on a list if you're dealing with the Chinese government. But she was wearing like a Taiwanese flag and had like a sunflower dress on, which was like, you know, they say could have been a reference to the sunflower revolution in 2014 in Taiwan. So China basically said,
like Katy Perry's sense of geopolitics. So it doesn't extend to that. But
exactly. I think the sunflower dress.
Wearing the dress.
That might
be great if like 100 years in the future, like historians realize like all of her, like,
we're all like coded.
Insane,
yeah, totally.
Right.
Her insane stagecraft was
left
like,
and right
chakra,
actually.
This,
the
like,
Koch brothers.
Really dope, like political.
Yeah.
Anarchic.
That Bon Appetit will be read like the I Have a Dream speech by kids in school.
Yeah.
So because of that, China basically said that she's indefinitely banned or not allowed to enter the country. So
that is so badass.
Yeah.
To be indefinitely banned from
China.
Indefinitely. Like, yo, so sorry. And we're not going to do anything. We're not taking it back. This is
right.
It. One of our writers, Allison, she was kind of going through and seeing that, like, you know, China does have a thing with basically keeping people out of the country over their social media posts.
China is always watching.
They're always watching. The keyboard player from Rune 5, banned. Why? Because he said happy birthday to the Dalai Lama on Twitter. That's enough to get you basically banned from entering the country.
It's probably worth it. Also, the Dalai Lama appreciated the keyboard player from Rune 5 birthday message.
Also, keyboard player from Rune 5, no one knows your name. Sorry, we call you keyboard player from Maroon 5.
Yeah, I wonder if the band was keyboard player from Maroon 5 or if it had his name.
I'm sure they went and they're like, look, sorry, keyboard player. The rest of us can go because we're not doing birthday tweets to the Dalai Lama. Also, I don't think the Dalai Lama checks his mentions. So, you know, that
seems very un-Dalai Lama-like.
Does not seem like him being
against
like, ooh,
the very principle.
Let me check my mentions. And then also, so then there are other people who have also been, who are barred from entering the country. Lady Gaga, Bjork, Oasis. Because they've been very vocal of their support of Tibet. And Justin Bieber, you know, it's because I think he's just Justin Bieber. So, guys, if you want to go to China, be careful on your social media because they will check that. But I don't think regular people are being barred. But, again, if you're of anyone of note, be careful of what you say because it can get you barred from entering China.
Another fun fact to come out of the story. Apparently, Katy Perry's fans in China call her Fruit Sister because she wears so many fruit-themed costumes.
Wow.
Just dope.
Fruit Sister.
Yeah. Fruit Sister.
All right.
That's my new goal.
Yeah.
I'm going to call me Fruit Sister.
Well, get your social media game up and maybe make a splash in China.
Liana, this has been a blast. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Liana Maybe, which is probably not spelled how you think it is, but we're making it a game. LianaMaeby.
It is. Miles, where can people
or at Fruit Sister as of this afternoon.
Yeah. We better check, make sure that's available. Oh, for me, guys, please, Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Thank you to everybody's kind words about the show on Twitter and in your reviews. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, keep the reviews coming. You can follow me at Jack_OBRIEN. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. The Daily Zeitgeist is our Facebook fan page. We've been getting a lot of good feedback there. At Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. And you can go to dailyzeitgeist.com on the World Wide Web. And that is where we put up episodes of the show, but we also put up our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where you can find links to every article we used as a source for today's episode. And that's going to do it for today. Good episode one, guys. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.